voice. But then he pinches my clit between two fingers, and I buck over the table. I'm almost blind from the sudden burst of pleasure. "Dan," I say, voice shaky. Straightening up, I feel him spasm inside me, his hand applying more pressure on my clit. "Dan, oh." I take his hand away from my waist and bring it to my mouth. Daniel understands my wish at once and clasps his hand around my lips. Any sound I'll make will be muffled, but I still try with all my might to internalize the pleasure. The problem with internalizing the pleasure is that it increases the intensity. My nerve endings feel like hot needles. The muscles in my tummy contract, as do those in my ass and thighs. My entire body braces itself for the orgasm. I've never come so fast in my life. "Oh, fuck, this feels good," Daniel whispers. "You're so tight, baby. So tight, it's driving me insane." I squeeze him so hard with my inner muscles, I nearly come again just from feeling every inch of him filling me up. Heat flashes through me, and it takes me a second to realize why I'm not coming down from the high of the orgasm. Daniel is still touching my clit. Has he no mercy? I attempt to push his hand away, but he shakes his head.
"Shh, trust me."
"I'm too sensitive," I protest, even as pleasure pinches me, feeling like hot needles again.
"I know, but you're so close. Trust me on this. The second one will be more intense."
He drives inside me harder than before, his thighs slapping against my ass, his fingers turning me insane. When I feel him widen inside me, I cover my mouth with his hand again.
"Fuck."
He presses his mouth in the crook of my neck to muffle his own sounds, and it sends me over the edge. I explode all around him for a second time. Maybe it's because I finally laid myself bare before him, but even though we're hiding in a room, dressed up as a pirate and Cinderella, and our lovemaking was rough and hard, I feel closer to him than ever before.
"I feel it too, Caroline."
We make eye contact in the mirror, and I'm surprised at the vulnerability in his gaze.
"Everything you feel in this moment, I'm right here with you."
We clean up quickly in the bathroom next door, find the damn glitter, and try not to look too guilty as we head back downstairs. No one seems to have noticed our absence, but maybe that's because things escalated quickly. Mia and Elena are now fighting over which one has the better costume. They're identical, and Will ran smack dab into a cup with orange juice, so now he's soaked and crying. Sebastian's trying to cheer him up while Ava changes him. Their daughter, Audrey, watches them with her lower lip trembling, clearly not impressed that her brother is getting all her parents' attention. "Uh-oh. I sense danger." I motion Daniel with my head. "Let's go distract Audrey." He grins, holding out his hand in front of me.
"Ladies first. After you."
I pinch the bridge of my nose, feigning disgust. "Coward. Sending me to the wolves first." He steps right next to me, bringing his lips to my ear.
"Hey, you're better with kids than me. Besides, I love hanging in the back. I get a perfect view of you swinging your ass from side to side."
"You can't even make out any shape under all these layers."
"I've got the sight of it naked, imprinted on my retinas."
"Daniel," I admonish in a whisper, "we're surrounded by your family."
"Makes this so much more fun, seeing you turn red to the roots of your hair."
"Stop that, unless you don't want to get laid for 3 days straight." He throws his head back, laughing. "Laughing? Yeah. My admonishing skills need a lot of work."
"Sweetest challenge I ever heard."
We calm Audrey down by distracting her with a game of trick-or-treat. Before long, Will joins us too. Dad arrives shortly after 7, looking around incredulously.
"What is your costume, mister?"
Mia asks him as soon as I introduce her to him. Dad glances at me for help. He's wearing regular clothes, a shirt and cotton trousers. "He's a librarian," I say, with as much seriousness as I muster. Mia frowns.
"Which story had a librarian?"
Bet all of them did. All castles had a library. They needed a librarian. Mia ponders this for a few seconds before nodding.
Do you want a treat or trick, Mr. Librarian?
Dad smiles, and Mia takes his hand, leading him to the other kids. The party lasts late into the evening, and between seeing Dad smiling more than he's done in ages and feeling Daniel's gaze on me, the warmth of his family surrounding us, I can't help hoping there will be many more evenings like this one. Chapter 22. Caroline.
You're a lifesaver. Thank you so much, Linda exclaims, taking the plate with quiche out of my hands.
Only half is for you, by the way. The other is for Bing. Upon hearing his name, the golden retriever pokes his head through the open door.
Bing, stay inside, Linda commands. You're the best friend ever.
Well, not so much. I feel like I've sort of abandoned Linda lately.
Are you sure you don't want to join our girls' night in, at least for a bit?
Nah, I'm just gonna curl up in bed and sleep. Working on a Saturday sucks.
How do you still have so much energy? You've been helping your dad all day, and look at you, you're practically radiant. You changed your skin toner? Or is it all the sexy time you're getting lately?
I tap my chin, pretending I'm thinking hard.
The vote goes unabashedly to sexy time.
Even though I am getting none tonight because Daniel is out of town, running the bachelorette event for Beatrix. But I'm looking forward to the estrogen-filled evening and catching up with Summer and Pippa. We didn't get to talk too much on Halloween, so I'm expecting this to last until late in the night.
Heard from Daniel today?
Nah, he's busy. He'll call if he has time. Linda runs a hand through her hair, messing up her lovely curls.
Girl, if my man would spend the night with an ex, especially one who looks like that Beatrix chick, I'd be biting my nails, texting him every 15 minutes.
I sigh, not at all willing to open this can of worms with her.
She's getting married. How about the friends attending the party? I bet they're single and just as hot. Hot people are always surrounded by hot people.
Damn. I hadn't even given one thought to the other women there. Palms suddenly a little sweaty, I shift my weight from one leg to the other.
For the love of all that is holy, Linda, you've got to stop being so pessimistic.
She shrugs.
Maybe you're too trusting. You've been back together, what, a month?
Men will be men.
Just saying. You flaunt so much perfection and beauty in their noses, they'll fall for it.
Isn't she a ray of sunshine? To her defense, she does have chronic bad luck in the dating department, but maybe her expectation that all men are assholes actually attracts assholes. As I move around my kitchen, some 10 minutes later, checking on the quiche, my insecurities kick in. Maybe I shouldn't eat the quiche, but opt for a low-fat, tasteless alternative instead. And the wine is a bad idea. Alcohol has so many calories. I wonder what models eat to stay so thin, to maintain that flawless beauty. Bet quiche isn't on their approved meals list. Damn it. This is all Linda's pessimism getting to me. I swear, pessimism should be on the list of infectious diseases. It spreads like wildfire, sticks like a pest. My heart grows a little heavy. Should I be more cautious? Is it too soon to be this trusting? Jesus, I'll drive myself crazy if I keep on like this. As if on cue, I receive a text from Daniel. Daniel, the girls started with the cocktails at lunch. Half can't walk in a straight line already. Feel like a babysitter. Hope your day is better. I laugh nervously, my heart growing heavier still. Damn it. I've got to stop this. Before I know it, I'll be fearing an apocalypse coming. Caroline, Pippa and Summer will be here soon. I suspect in a few hours we'll be needing a sitter too. Have fun. By the time my doorbell rings, I've managed to push some of my worries to the back of my mind. A little quiche and a lot of wine should help push them out of my mind.
Oh, you didn't have to bring anything. I say, welcoming them inside. The Bennett sisters each carry a bag. This is the first proper girls' evening in a long time, Pippa says. I'm not cutting corners. When you said quiche, I thought, you know what goes with so much fat? More fat. So I brought ice cream. Summer nods, holding up her bag. I was in the mood for chips, but I also brought avocado and tomatoes to make guacamole. That should balance it out, right? I laugh. Not really, but girls' night isn't for balance. It's for fun. That's our girl. Pippa shoves the ice cream in my freezer as I take the quiche out of the oven. The creme fraiche is the perfect shade of cream, and the crust is dark brown. Besides, isn't it officially the cold season? The body needs more fat, Pippa muses. Well, mid-November doesn't quite qualify as the cold season, but I can see her point. Both girls are wearing jeans and casual shirts. Pippa's blonde hair is braided, while Summer wears hers in a messy bun at the base of her head. Neither wears makeup. One thing I love about girls' nights in, how casual we all are. Summer finishes preparing the guacamole at the same time the quiche is cool enough to eat. Let the feast begin. We carry the food and the wine to the living room, and the girls make themselves comfortable on the couch. I sit on the ottoman so I can look at them. An hour later, and three glasses of wine down each, we sit on the floor, scooping guacamole with the chips, reminiscing about that one time 6 years ago when we wanted to have an extended girls' weekend in L.A. where their cousin, Valentina Connor, lives. But the car's navigation system wasn't working, and we ended up getting lost. Lesson learned. We never let Pippa drive again, Summer exclaims. Her sister elbows her playfully. Oi, you could have pointed out I was heading to the Pampas before I drove 100 miles in the wrong direction. Summer grins. True, but I was too busy gossiping with Caroline. We're soul sisters, Summer and I. Gossiping with the girls is one of my favorite activities to relax, along with discovering a great TV show and binge-watching it, lying in a hot bath and spoiling Daniel. Not necessarily in that order. The three of us burst into giggles, and I laugh until every limb in my body feels lighter. Once we've calmed down somewhat, we all talk about our jobs. I always had a secret crush on Pippa's job as a designer at Bennett Enterprises. The jewelry she makes is just breathtaking. I might lead a low-key lifestyle, but a girl can feast her eyes. Summer works at an art gallery and paints as well. I have one of her paintings hanging in my bedroom, sunlight reflecting on a tranquil sea. It's a brilliant sight to wake up to. As we down the last of the chips and the quiche, which goes amazingly with guacamole, as it turns out, Summer says, Caroline, we haven't officially talked about you and Daniel at Halloween, but this means you've got 2 more weeks of information to share. We're all ears. Pippa holds up a finger. I'll bring the ice cream first. And teaspoons. They're in the drawer to the left of the oven, I instruct. Once we're armed with teaspoons, we eat the ice cream directly out of the carton, and I launch into a detailed account. Damn, girl, Pippa exclaims when I stop to catch my breath. You're on a roll. I'm basking in this moment. How I have wished for this day, when Dan and I would be together again and his sisters would poke their noses into our business, dissecting every little thing. Well, how can you overanalyze everything with me if you don't know all the details? So I demand honest honesty. Honest honesty? This wine is strong, Summer interjects, inspecting the label on the empty bottle. Shh! Don't interrupt me or I'll lose my nerve. Do you think Linda's right and I'm too trusting? I keep saying that I'm taking this one day at a time, but I'm doing the opposite. I'm jumping in with both feet. But I've wanted Daniel to be mine again so badly for so long that I'm not even sure how to do things differently. Oh, now I've done it. I hadn't meant to say the last part out loud. Wow, this is the first time you admit you've wanted to be back with him all along, Summer says, absently moving her teaspoon around in the ice cream carton. I could try to downplay it, but they'd see right through me. I didn't want to admit it, even to myself. I knew how pathetic I'd sound.
Wanting to be back with someone you love doesn't make you pathetic. It makes you human. Pippa straightens up, crossing her legs in a yoga pose.
And back to your question? No, you're not too trusting. You know better than anyone what you have with Daniel. Linda is your friend, but I don't like how she talks about men. I bet even if she had a perfect partner, she'd still find something to complain about. Daniel's not an asshole, and I'm not saying this just because he's my brother.
Summer snickers.
Yeah, you are. Admit it, you're biased.
Of course I'm biased, but my bias comes from 30 years of studying my brother. It's rooted in observation.
Because poking your nose in someone else's business is foolproof scientific evidence, Summer says.
Pippa clumsily climbs back on the couch, rubbing her hip.
Floor's too hard. I can't feel my ass anymore. That might be the wine's doing, I inform her solemnly.
Pippa tilts her head, as if considering this.
You're such a great friend, and you make my brother happy. You should be a Bennett already. Oh, man, that sounds so good. So, so good. I dreamed about this the first time around, I admit. Caroline Bennett has such a nice ring to it.
Speaking of rings, I already have the one for you in my mind.
She wiggles her elbows, rubbing her hands excitedly. Just need the word.
This escalated quickly.
No more talk of rings. I said I dreamed about this the last time. Now,
you're taking it one step at a time.
Summer winks, taking the carton of ice cream in her lap, monopolizing it. I'm usually a happy drunk. What's wrong with me?
I'm disgusted with my own negativity.
Nothing wrong. Doubts and fears are normal. You're in love with a man you lost once, and you're afraid of losing him again, Pippa says.
I pull my knees to my chest, suddenly feeling exposed.
I didn't say anything about love.
The girls smile, exchanging glances.
We can read between the lines, Summer informs me.
Chapter 23. Daniel. Come on, sleepyhead. One kiss. I know you're awake. You peeked when I was getting dressed. In response, Caroline hugs the pillow tighter under her head, blinks open an eye, closes it again. I like you better naked? I aim to please, but I have an early Monday today. Bad words? If you're not giving me that kiss, I'm going to take it. She wiggles her sexy bare ass, eyes still closed. What's stopping you, Bennett? Take what's yours? Cheeky woman. Putting one knee on the bed, I lounge over her, kissing up her spine, giving her ass a little smack. She moans softly, reaching back with her hand when I'm kissing the side of her neck, tugging at my hair. She's usually an early bird, but I kept her up late last night. The weekend was a shit show of epic proportions. It's the last bachelor or bachelorette event I'm organizing, no matter how high profile the customer acquiring one is. Drove right here yesterday afternoon, needing to see Caroline, to get my fill of her, which I still haven't. I hover over her, just feeling her warmth and sweetness, all the good things she brings in my life. As if sensing how much I need her, she takes out a hand from under her pillow, caressing my neck, pulling me closer. Staying here with her sounds like the best use of the day, but duty calls, and if there's one thing I can't persuade Caroline to do, it's to call in sick. Her work ethic is killing me. She falls back to sleep just like that in my arms, and I move away, careful not to wake her. She's taking her group to the circus today, so she starts later. The day goes downhill the second I climb into my car. My phone rings, a familiar name appearing on the screen. Jake Wensworth, owner of the San Francisco Business Report, the most successful local business magazine. Hi, Jake. Daniel, not too early, I hope. Not at all. You've got news for me? Yeah, you were right. Someone from your team is out to get you. We got a call from a guy named Hamill. My body goes cold. Justin Hamill? Yes. He went into some detail about liquidity-to-asset ratio and so on. And you're sure it was Hamill, not Colbert? 100%. He didn't give us his name, but we searched his number online, found an old CV with his name and number listed. After a long pause, I finally said, "This isn't what I expected. I'm sorry. I'll deal with this today. At least this circus is ending. Thanks, Jake." "No problem." After we hang up, I grip the wheel tighter, pressing the gas pedal and speeding through the city, my mind stuck somewhere between numbness and anger. Why would my mentor turn against me? I summon Justin in my office the second I arrive and cut to the chase as soon as he sits in front of me. "I received a phone call from Jake Wensworth today. The name ring a bell?" Justin nods, his expression betraying nothing, setting me even more on edge. "He had some rather disturbing news for me. It appears you called him to report the company is in trouble." A vein twitched in his temple. "That's not true. I only told this to a few people. One of the others must have..." "Cut the crap. Your phone number is listed online. It was you. Just like the leaked photos to the tabloids." "Why?" Tired of doing this the polite way, I rise to my feet, pace the space behind the desk, stopping in front of the window. Justin's narrowed eyes follow my every move. I can practically hear him calculating the chances of convincing me that someone else is to blame. "I trusted you. You've been with me since I started this company." "Yes, all that trust and the hard work didn't keep you from promoting others over me, did it?" He sputters between gritted teeth. "What? You built this company with my help. I hired Marcel and you promoted him over me. You even promoted that bitch Honor." "Don't call her. I don't give two shits about what you want." He rises to his feet, and I cross the room until I'm right in front of him. "This is exactly why I didn't promote you. Your leadership skills are non-existent. You can't lead or give feedback. You make at least one person uncomfortable during our weekly meetings." "I know how to do my job. I don't need pretty rich boys talking about leadership skills, feedback loops, and all those fancy words you learn in business school." I stare at him. He was my first employee. Sometimes high maintenance, sometimes even rude, but I learned a lot from him. Except for said leadership skills. "So this is all out of spite?" He juts his chin forward, jamming a hand on the desk. "The extra money wasn't bad either." "I could have given you more money. All you had to do was ask. Someone had to take you down a notch or two from your high horse. I figured a few lawsuits would do the trick, but people like you always come out on top, right? All that Ivy League education and money shooting at your ass. All those connections." "Right. Wensworth is one of those connections. You have 1 hour to clean out your desk and hand in your resignation." "No, no, I won't make this easy for you. You want me out, you do the work." "Don't think I won't." Words I never thought I'd tell someone I considered my mentor. I looked up to him despite his faults. How did I let this get here? "Your star will fade eventually, boy. Mark my words, yours and your family's." "Leave my family out of this," I warn, curling my palms to fists. "I kept hoping to have something on them. Almost had my chance when your little sister was all over that drummer at the beginning of the year. Summer Bennett flashing, 'You talk like that about my family, you won't be able to walk tomorrow. Forget coming to the office. Out. Now.'" I curl my fists tighter, fighting to keep my anger under control. He's deliberately provoking me. If I hit him, I'll have a lawsuit on my hands. I only unclench my fists when he leaves my sight. I remember the drummer he's talking about. We planned a New Year's event for a local rock band, and my sister joined us. She and their drummer hit it off right away. I kept an eye on them the entire night, ready to play the Big Brother card if it came to it. Reed, if he'd tried to rope her into a one-night stand. Would have pissed off my sister, but the guy was an asshole. Nothing came out of that night, but the thought of Summer's life splashed in the tabloids because of this idiot, and because of me, is enough to make my blood boil.
Caroline. By the time 5 o'clock in the afternoon rolls around, I'm so ready to call this a day.
Most days I love my job, but today isn't one of those. Taking the kids to the circus turned into a circus all on its own.
Thank God that was the last one, Carla says, sounding as exhausted as I feel.
We're in the park facing the circus, and the last kid was just picked up.
My feelings exactly. I'm out of here, too.
Have a nice evening, Carla. Any plans?
Does collapsing on my couch with a glass of wine count as a plan?
Absolutely.
There's my plan, then.
How about you? Are you dating Daniel Bennett? When he picked you up last week, you looked cozy.
I will kill Daniel.
Yes, I will. By cozy, she probably means she saw Daniel pulling me behind his car and kissing the living daylights out of me.
No one will see, he said. We're well hidden here, he said.
We're dating, yes.
She beams as she motions to a cabbie to stop.
Well, if he picks you up again, by all means tell him to come inside. He's a sight for sore eyes.
I decide on the spot that shall not happen. Daniel's 6 feet of deliciousness are for me and me alone.
Yeah, I'm possessive.
See you tomorrow, Carla.
After she slides into the cab, I head to my car, already excited about my trip to the thrift store near my building. The owner emailed the pic of a gorgeous scarf she received today and said she's putting it aside for me until this evening. I can't wait to put my hands on the pretty thing. While driving, I thumb off a message to Daniel. We made no plans to meet, but lately we've been playing a game I love. He asks me to come over to his place, and I pretend I don't want to, just so he can make full use of his extensive and delicious persuasion skills. As if I really need to be persuaded. I love being in his home and walking around Knob Hill. Between the vintage barber shops, the cable cars, and the old luxury vibes coming from buildings such as the famous Fairmont Hotel, it's a pleasure to be there. Caroline. Everything okay? My phone buzzes with an incoming call the next second. I immediately answer.
Hey, how was your day? I ask.
I've had better.
What happened?
Long story.
The defeat in his tone startles me.
I'd really like to hold you tonight.
Instantly, I sense this isn't the time to play our little game. How's a bubble bath in your jacuzzi sound? No girly bath bomb, I promise. He laughs, but it doesn't sound wholehearted. Not like he means it.
Sounds great. I'll be at my place in about an hour, but the doorman can let you in if you arrive earlier.
I'll be there in 40 minutes, and I'll prepare everything. I'll have to forego the trip to the thrift shop, but it doesn't matter. Someone else can have the pretty scarf. Daniel comes first. Whatever he needs, I'm there. To my utter shock, I realize 99% of the bath bomb offerings are targeting women. The best I can find is a marine-scented one, but I'll double-check with Daniel before dropping it in the water. When he arrives, he's giving off every single vibe of broody Daniel. I have the bath ready. Well, the jacuzzi's full. The verdict's still out there on whether the bath bomb is masculine enough. Marine scent, it says. But that's open to interpretation. I don't want you smelling like a mermaid. This earns me a small smile. We can do better. Taking his hand, I lead him to the bathroom. I'm taking care of you tonight, I announce when we arrive at the jacuzzi. I turn around, raising my hands to undo his shirt buttons, but Daniel catches both my wrists, cuffing them in one big hand. Then he pulls me into a long, deep kiss, bringing his other hand to the back of my head. Oh, boy. This is his manly way of saying, yes, yes, I need you to take care of me. One day, I'll write a book aimed at men, explaining in great detail how admitting out loud that they have their vulnerable moments won't kill them. Right now, I have more important things to do, namely, taking care of this particular man. First, I need to get him naked. Now, I'm not one to take advantage of a vulnerable man for my own pleasure, but getting him inside the tub requires me to take his clothes off. If I prolong the process, taking my sweet time, well, no one can blame me. Daniel's body is a piece of art. It deserves all the stroking and worshipping. I run my fingers over every inch of skin I uncover, and when that isn't enough anymore, I use my mouth, too. Down his chest, tracing the ridges of his six-pack with the tip of my tongue until I feel the bulge in his pants press against my throat. Lowering myself on my knees, I undo the button and the zipper, pushing his pants and boxers down. I take his erection in my mouth, looking him straight in the eyes. He exhales sharply, bringing his hand to cup the side of my face, sliding it to the back of my head, the pads of his fingers pressing on my scalp, as if he's barely refraining himself from fisting my hair. Oh, I love it when I bring him this close to losing control. I don't want him to keep his rough side in check tonight, so I'm going to tempt the hell out of him right until he loses it. Watching his eyes, I slide my mouth lower onto him, and then lower still, until I feel his tip at the back of my throat. Daniel feels it too, if the low, husky groan is any indication. Heat zings through me at the sound. Just like that, I'm burning for him. Damn it. This whole thing is backfiring. My grand seduction plan is supposed to drive him so crazy that he pushes all his troubles to the back of his mind. It isn't supposed to turn me on so much that I feel like throwing my plan away and jumping his bones right now. No. No. I'll stay put. Tonight is all about him. As if sensing my need, he says, "Touch yourself." I don't need to be told twice. I move my hand, but splay it wide on my stomach instead of doing anything naughty, because I just got an idea. I want him to tell me what to do. I want his instructions every step of the way. Daniel loves giving me commands when we're intimate, but not more than I love following them. I shrug, opening my eyes wide, hoping he'll get my point. I can't talk with him filling my mouth. Oh, he does.
Run your finger over your panties, from your clit down to your opening.
Slowly, I push my pants down, kicking them away, then run my hand over the silk of my panties just the way he told me to. A rush of arousal dampens my panties. I press my thighs together. Daniel's eyes become hooded. He draws in a deep breath, and when his lips part, I see his teeth are clenched. He pulses in my mouth, and I clamp my lips tighter around him.
"You're driving me crazy, woman. Touch yourself again. Run your fingers up one fold, then down the other. Don't touch your clit this time."
I nearly bite him when I press the drenched fabric against my sensitive folds. A tremor shakes my entire body, but I move my mouth slowly over him while I touch myself. I'm getting the hang of this multitasking thing, even though I'm so turned on I can barely think.
"You're making yourself wet, and you're driving me crazy. Slide your hand inside your panties. Touch your pussy."
I dive my hand right in and hear a small splat as my fingers slip through my arousal. Daniel tugs at my hair in a wild gesture. Then he pulls out of me.
"Get inside that tub, Caroline. I need to fuck you right now."
He helps me up to my feet, pushes my panties down in an instant, and once we're both naked, we lower ourselves into the tub.
"I'll sit. You climb on top of me. The tub floor is too hard for you."
I climb on top, lowering myself onto him, taking him in all at once. I gasp, but barely have time to draw in a deep breath when Daniel starts pounding me so hard I clasp the edges of the tub to ground myself. He's leveling himself on his palms and footsoles, driving into me like a man determined to chase the last drop of pleasure tonight. It's relentless fucking, but also lovemaking. I watch him lose himself in me, taking me higher with every thrust, and then higher still until we're in that heightened state of mind where no thoughts exist, just sensation.
I shatter around him when he rasps out my name, chasing his climax. I feel, more than see him, lean back, resting his head at the edge of the tub, pulling me flush against him so I'm lying with my head on his shoulder, the water reaching up to my chin. My back is completely out of the hot water, and I feel a little cold. Slowly, I become aware of Daniel splashing water over my back, warming me up. I snuggle closely up to his neck, peppering his skin with kisses.
So, where's that bath bomb you keep threatening me with?
I reach out to the edge of the tub, bring it up for his inspection. He sniffs it.
Doesn't smell like your usual stuff.
Chuckling, I pull back, sitting so I can look at him. I don't attack a man when he's down. I'll force my vanilla and lavender bath bomb on you another time. What's the verdict on this one?
Bring it on.
I drop it in the water, then reach for his shower gel. I'm going to rub this into you, like a massage.
You're going all out tonight.
Told you I'd take care of you. Something flickers in his eyes, but he doesn't say anything. I rub gel on my palms, then get to work, massaging his chest, his arms, the front of his shoulders.
Found out who leaked those photos.
Oh, by your disgruntled look, I'm going to take a guess that it wasn't the intern?
It was Justin. I promoted Marcel and Honor over him, and apparently it was enough to turn him against me.
I'm sorry. That's terrible. But now it's all over, right? It's all good?
Firing the man I considered my mentor doesn't exactly feel like winning.
I bet not.
He actually said he'd hoped to have something to leak about my family. Nearly got a shot at Summer at the New Year's Eve party last year.
I lower my hands from his shoulders to his chest, feeling his heartbeat frantically, and I know he's playing in his mind what could have happened. I'm imagining some worst-case scenarios, too, but I'll keep that to myself. It's the last thing he needs to hear right now. He needs my strength, and to be comforted.
Some brother I am, eh? And a fantastic boss, too.
His voice dripping with sarcasm, he rests his head back on the edge of the tub. Dan, stop beating yourself up about everything. You are a great brother and a great boss. Carla told me that on the trip, Marcel and Honor were only saying positive things about you.
They won't trash me in front of customers. Doesn't mean they really think that. When I started this company, I wanted to build something I could be proud of, make my family proud.
You should be proud of what you built. And your family is proud, too. If you don't believe me, just ask them.
You're so beautiful. Sitting here, listening to me.
He takes my hands to his lips, kisses my knuckles. He's never showed me this side of him before, never let me see him vulnerable and emotional.
I'm so happy to have you.
I'm happy to be here, Dan. He's still in brooding mode, though, still vulnerable and unhappy. I bite the underside of my cheek, pondering what to say next. Reassuring him it's all good won't help. Sometimes we don't need to hear everything will be okay. We already know that, but we still feel like we could have done better, like we're not enough. The feeling is all too familiar for me, and while I avoid talking about it, maybe sharing this will help him, at least make him understand it's normal to feel like this from time to time. Not pleasant, but normal. I have these moments too, I say softly. When I don't feel like I'm enough. Daniel straightens up, fixing me with his gaze. When Mom boasted to everyone that my brother is a neurosurgeon, told me I could have done better than being an elementary school teacher. This was the easy part to confess. Swallowing, I trace a random pattern on his chest with my forefinger. Then, after the miscarriage and the surgery, the few times I told men I couldn't have kids, it didn't go well at all. They kind of made me feel like I'm not woman enough. The muscles in his arms and shoulders tense. He pulls me closer until I'm lying on top of him.
That's why you were afraid of telling me.
Yeah.
Is being around kids hard for you? At school or with my family?
Not at all. I've always loved kids.
After the diagnosis, I immediately started thinking about adoption, and it felt right. But not everyone thinks this way.
They were not men enough for you. No big loss for you.
You've got a knack for turning this around to make me look like a prize.
You are a prize. You're a smart, funny, and loving woman. You're everything. My everything.
I curl in his arms like a kitten, soaking in his words. His admission beckons me to counter with one of my own, to open up. You're my everything too, Dan. You're the best thing that happened to me. The best. This, right here, each of us bearing our souls to each other, sharing our fears, feels more intimate than anything we've done before. We never laid ourselves bare this way the first time. Maybe because at that age we didn't have many skeletons, or maybe we just weren't ready to trust the other with the less than perfect stuff.
Even when I'm a mess?
He asks. I'm flat against his chest, so I can't see his expression, but I spy the way his hand tightens on the edge of the tub. My answer is important to him. I'd argue he's far from being a mess, but it's not what he needs. Even then, especially then, you're human, my human. Here's a little secret. I know you're not perfect. No one is.
Damn, all that hard work, and I still can't fool you into thinking I'm perfect.
Nope, the jig is up, I'm afraid. But I'll be here, no matter what, ready to listen to you, with a bath and anything else you need. I promise.
I don't need the bath, or anything else. I just need you.
He threads his fingers through my hair, his breath caressing the side of my head.
Listening without judging. Trusting me.
I nibble at the base of his neck, which might possibly lead to a hickey, but I need to kiss him, touch him. I need to feel closer to him. No clue if he's ready for sexy time again, though.
Lying naked on top of me is also a big bonus,
he adds in a naughty whisper. I giggle against his neck, happy we can find the light and humor in any situation. The joke's on me, it appears. He's always ready for sexy time. Men. I knew it. It all comes down to sex. Watch it, or I will treat you to my vanilla bath bomb. He slips one hand between us, teasing a nipple.
They're awake already.
Keep going like that, and I'll upgrade to a cherry and honey bath bomb. You'll smell like dessert for a week.
Chapter 24. Daniel. Turns out firing someone for attempted sabotage requires more paperwork than setting up a damn company. By the time Thursday rolls around, I'm ready to forget this week altogether. Pretend it didn't exist. Solving everything this week is imperative because I have a tour on Monday, and I'm flying out to Sydney next Tuesday, where I'll be closing a business deal. I have a hearing tomorrow morning for Justin's case, but as I pull my car in my parents' driveway, I'm determined to let loose, enjoy Thanksgiving dinner. A flurry of voices echo in the house when I step inside. Everyone is sitting on the various armchairs and couches in the enormous living room, a drink in hand. After greeting my parents and Martin, I head straight to Caroline, who is sitting on a sofa, talking to Landon Connor, a cousin from my mom's side of the family.
Landon, good to see you, man. I shake his hand, kissing Caroline on the forehead, then sitting on the armrest. I didn't know you were coming tonight.
Wanted to head out to L.A., but didn't work out time-wise.
The Connor clan resides in L.A., but Landon moved to San Jose years ago with his wife, Rachel. Unfortunately, since she passed away, my cousin seems to be spending every waking moment working.
Ouch. I bet Valentina has put a ransom on your head, I say, referring to his twin sister, who likes to organize family events as much as Mom.
I'm waiting for wanted signs to pop up any second now, Landon replies. Caroline grins, wrapping an arm around mine.
Val needs to come to San Francisco more often. I need someone to teach me how to properly perform Irish dances. I can't believe she's so much better at it than I am. You lot are only half Irish, she says.
My dad took his dancing seriously, Landon says.
His father emigrated from Ireland to America around the same time Caroline's parents did.
And Val's the only one who can dance out of the lot of us.
Caroline sighs wistfully.
I'll be happy if I can evolve to the point where I'm not stepping on my own toes anymore.
Or mine, I supply. She jabs me playfully with her elbow.
I did not step on yours.
Landon winks.
I can confidently say you step on your dancing partner's toes, too. Had a black toe or two myself after Blake's wedding.
Caroline folds her arms, glancing from Landon to me.
You're banding against me. That's unfair.
Landon holds up his hands in defense.
Just presenting evidence.
Sorry to interrupt. Summer calls, approaching us. I need to steal my favorite cousin for a bit.
As Landon rises from the couch, I warn him.
Don't believe her. She plays the favorites game with all of us.
Landon laughs, lacing an arm around Summer's shoulders.
I'm the only cousin here tonight. I'm the favorite by default.
He still looks so sad even though it's been a while since Rachel passed away,
Caroline says in a low, wistful voice. To me, Landon looks just fine, but I'll admit I don't pick up on these things like my sisters or Caroline do.
She was his wife, I say simply. If something happened to Caroline, I don't think I'd ever recover.
I know, but I was hoping he'd catch the Benedictus virus, too. He is related to you, after all.
Blake's been giving you ideas, huh? I ask with a grin. Ever since our eldest siblings fell in love, one after the other, Blake declared the Benedictus virus is ravaging our family.
He has? And by the way, Blake was saying something about a guy's night out tomorrow evening.
Just then, Mom announces the turkey's ready, and we can all head to the dining table. Taking Caroline's hand, I lead the way.
Speaking of brothers, I talked to Neil today, I say, pulling out the chair for her.
Caroline groans.
He gave you the talk, didn't he?
Yeah, but he was more laid back about it than I expected.
She cocks a brow as I sit next to her.
Define laid back.
He didn't tell me anything I wouldn't tell someone dating Summer, I say truthfully.
Wow, you've had quite a day, between dealing with the stuff with Justin and my brother semi-threatening you.
Leaning in, she adds in a conspiratorial whisper,
I'll take care of you tonight. I promise.
I'll hold you to that. Predictably, Thanksgiving dinner stretches for hours, right until Will falls asleep with his head on the table, and we decide to call it a night. The next evening, I'm the last to arrive at Blake's bar, where I decided with my brothers plus Pippa's husband to have our men's night out. Everyone's sitting around two high bar tables pushed together. Sebastian, Logan next to him, then Eric. Blake, Christopher, and Max are on the other side.
How did it go?
Logan inquires.
Blake told us.
I groan, staring at Blake. He was supposed to keep his mouth shut. I haven't told any of my other siblings about the issue with Justin because I saw no point worrying them, but when I called Blake at lunch to tell him I'd be late this evening, he insisted I tell him why.
Blake grins. Blame the beer.
You've just had half a glass.
Blame my big mouth.
Thought they should know. They usually have good ideas.
If you need lawyers, we have a whole lot of them on payroll already, Sebastian offers.
Nah, I'm good. A competent team is handling it.
Just want to get it over with. Forget it happened.
Logan drums his fingers on the table.
Might happen again, so look out. Corporate sabotage isn't that uncommon.
It isn't? I raise a skeptical brow.
Nah, you get frustrated employees everywhere. Pay attention to vengeful ex-employees. We had one once who tried to stop a transport to Europe. Was a bit of a nightmare.
Max chimes in.
Competitors sometimes get nasty too, stir up legal trouble or send the feds over.
Low chances, I'd say. Not a big fish like Bennett Enterprises. No big fish in my industry at all. Doubt any of the others would waste their time with something like this.
I wouldn't.
Sebastian scratches his chin, downs a mouthful of beer.
Because you're decent. Not everyone plays fair. If your lawyers don't come through, we can help. Ours have handled just about everything.
Surprisingly, the news that my brothers have gone through something similar calms me somewhat. It's good to know this is at least in the realms of normalcy. Blake looks at me smugly. His first reaction when I told him was, "Why the hell aren't you telling the others? I bet they've seen it all at Bennett Enterprises. They'll have some advice." Unlike me, Blake's never had any issues asking my brothers for help or advice.
"Say it," he demands.
"You were right." Blake pumps his fist in the air, opens his mouth. I hold up a hand to placate him. "No more gloating. I need a beer." Several beers in, the conversation focuses on Bennett Enterprises. Since everyone except Eric, Blake, and me works in the company, this happens often. My brothers are smart as a whip, and I'd like to listen to them mastermind. More than once during casual nights out, I picked up valuable management or operational ideas that I implemented in my own business.
"Enough with the Bennett Enterprises babble," Blake says eventually. "It's all good and interesting, but this is not the boardroom. If I'd known you're using this night out to draw out strategies, I would have taken Clara out instead."
Logan grins. "Feel free to dump us for your wife any time. She might not be too keen on you tonight. As far as I heard, the girls are having a blast. First time Clara's out with them since the baby came, right?"
"Yeah," Blake confirms. "She was nervous about it, but she needs some time for herself."
"Pretty crazy that Mom and Dad take the kids in overnight," Logan says. "Suppose raising the bunch of us was practice enough?"
"No idea how they did it," Sebastian says. Logan claps his shoulder.
"You're on your way to find out, with two more coming in a few months?" He and Ava shared the news yesterday. Is it my imagination, or does Sebastian look tense? He takes a long swig of his beer, nods. "My worst fear, not being able to provide for or protect my wife and kids, either because I die or, worse, become incapacitated and they have me as a burden."
Everyone at the table falls into a stunned silence. I can't even count the instances in which Sebastian voiced fears on one hand. This must be weighing very hard on him.
"Your wife is a strong woman," I say eventually. Everyone else seems still too stunned to react.
"She'd manage no matter what life throws her."
"And you have us. No matter what happens, we'd take care of Ava and the kids. You can count on me, on all of us."
Sebastian nods, but still looks out of his depths. Logan seems to snap out of his stupor, backing me up immediately. The others chime in too, reassuring my oldest brother.
"Never seen him like this," I comment to Christopher 10 minutes later when we line up at the bar to bring more beers.
"I did," he says quietly. "When he found out Ava was pregnant the first time, Alice and I were with him. He was wondering if he'd be a good dad, things like that. Gave us a bit of a shock, to be honest. But I understand where he's coming from. When Victoria got pregnant, I had some of those thoughts myself. She read up about it, said they happen. Never thought they'd happen to Sebastian because he's always in control, always sure of himself. And why the hell is it taking so long to get some beers?"
It takes us 5 more minutes to finally return to the table. I turn to my twin. "Blake, honest feedback. Your bartenders are slow as fuck. Took them forever to take our order."
"Oh, shit," Blake says. "That's not on the bartenders, it's on me. Told them to go slower after our third round. We still have to get the girls. Better be able to walk in a straight line while we're at it."
Logan gapes at him.
"Never thought I'd live to see the day when Blake's the most responsible of the bunch. Fatherhood's done wonders for you, baby bro. Now make sure this one follows in your footsteps, settles down and everything." He hooks one thumb in my direction.
"Oi, I'm right here, I can hear you," I say in mock offense. It's been too long since Logan rode my ass. Used to do it far more often in my early 20s. In all honesty, I did need that then. Nothing like a big brother breathing down your neck to motivate you to get your shit together.
"You were meant to hear it," Logan informs me. "You pull a stunt on Caroline like you did last time, it's not going to be pretty."
One thing I can always count on, my brothers won't hold back punches. Literally or figuratively.
Blake jerks his head back. "Logan, if you want my help cornering Daniel, I'm gonna need more heads up than this."
Perfect. Blake will have my back. Twin bond and all that.
Pointing a finger at me, he says, I'm with Logan. Any funny business and I'm decking you. Twin bonds worth shit tonight, apparently. Whose side are you on? He doesn't hesitate. Caroline's.
So am I. I raise my glass to them.
And guys, leave the cornering to our sisters. They're so much better at it.
Chapter 25. Caroline. For a variety of reasons, Monday isn't my favorite day of the week, but today I'm borderline panicking. Ever since I arrived this morning, I've had the impression that Carla and Helen are talking about me. Am I being paranoid? Have I done something wrong? Surely the principal would have told me. During the afternoon break, I head straight to the staff room. I find Carla and Helen with their heads together, stopping dead when they see me, straightening up. What's going on? I inquire. You two have been acting odd all day. They exchange uneasy glances. Right. Not my imagination, then. Did I do something? The principal didn't tell me. Carla shakes her head.
Nah, it's something else.
You didn't see. I thought it might be that. You were too calm the entire day. Panic flares inside me now. See what? Did something happen to Dad? Daniel. With an apologetic look, she stands up, takes her phone out of the front pocket of her jeans, taps it a few times, then hands it to me. Ice-cold dread sweeps over me. Now I understand the whispers, the furtive looks. On the tiny screen is a photo of Daniel and someone who is definitely not me. By the rich blonde mane and the article's title, I know it's Beatrix. And though the picture is badly lit and unclear, things are not looking good. I can't be sure, because the angle's bad, but there seems to be lip-locking involved. I don't want to think too closely about the tangle of arms. I scroll down, reading the article. A glance up at the browser tells me it's a trashy gossip magazine. Wasn't expecting anything less. Back to the article. I fight the knot in my throat. Blink a few times to clear the haze in my eyes. Why on earth is this such news? Probably because Beatrix is engaged to an A-list actor. Swallowing hard and squaring my shoulders, I hand the phone back to Carla.
Isn't this the guy you're seeing? Daniel Bennett? We thought it was him,
Helen says uncertainly. Yes? So? I ask harshly.
Oh,
Carla says, clearly misinterpreting my stoicism for indifference.
We didn't realize you two were casual, no strings.
Thankfully, they don't get to pry much longer because the principal walks in, asking us about the trip we're planning with the kids to the zoo next week. I answer almost robotically, my mind spinning, focusing on a few words. Casual. No strings. Once the principal's out of the staff room, I excuse myself, too, telling everyone I'm heading outside to prepare the yard for the afternoon after-school activities. Which is true, but I also need to be alone with my thoughts. I sway a little, unsteady on my feet as I make my way around the yard, my mind spinning and spinning until the vortex of thoughts is mirrored in my stomach, and I feel like I'm going to throw up. Time to sit down a bit. Draw in a few deep breaths, revisit the facts. One, the picture was unclear. Two, he came straight to me after the party, slipped in my bed. But Daniel did break up with me once because he wanted to experiment and wasn't ready to commit. That was 10 years ago, though, and this time it's all been so different. So much sweetness underneath the passion. So many honest moments where we both let our guards down. It wasn't all in my head, was it? It wasn't just me building it up in my mind, assuming there was more. But the picture. That damn picture. Fuzzy and badly lit as it is, it's still enough to raise my doubts. He didn't tell me anything about the weekend, except that he won't organize other bachelorette parties. I didn't read anything into it. Should I have? But he wouldn't have slipped right back in my bed if anything had happened. By the time I head back inside, I feel like a zombie, tired from fighting with myself, for measuring pros and cons in my mind. I'm going through the motions, willing this day to finally be over so I can get out of here. Helen and Carla keep glancing furtively at me, and I want to tell them to mind their own business. Except when your personal life is online, it's everyone's business. From time to time, I check my phone, but there's no message from Daniel. No surprise there. He said